Nipad Paramahansa Paravidyakacharya Oshatara Sattasri Srimad, His Divine Grace Iskan, Founder Acharya A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki, Ananta Kodi Vaishnava Rinda Ki, Naam Chaya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki, Pramsa Gaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaur Bhaktivedanta Ki, Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopinashram Kun Radhakun Giri Govardhan Ki, Vrindavan Dham Ki, Mathura Dham Ki, Navadvip Mayapur Dham Ki, Ganga Jamuna Mai ki, Bhakti Devi ki, Tulsi Maharani ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Shishwarlana Nishwara ki, Tukinasa Bhadabala Devi ki, Gaur Premanandi, all glory to the assembled devotees, all glory to the assembled devotees, all glory to the assembled devotees, glories to Guru Gauranga. What text is it today? Number?
Seven.
This morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 10, entitled Maharaj Rahugana Meets Jadabharat. Text number 7. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So again we have the long Sanskrit, so we'll just read the translation. Thereafter, when the king saw that his palanquin was still being shaken by the carriers, he became very angry and said, "You rascal, what are you doing? Are you dead despite the life within your body? Do you not know that I am your master? You are disregarding me and are not carrying out my order. For this disobedience, I shall now punish you, just as Yamaraj, the superintendent of death, punishes sinful people. I shall give you proper treatment so that you will come to your senses and do the correct thing." Text 8. Thinking himself a king, King Rahugana was in the bodily conception and was influenced by material nature's mode of passion and ignorance. Due to madness, he chastised Jadabharat with uncalled for and contradictory words. Jadabharat was a topmost devotee and the dear abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although considering himself very learned, the king did not know about the position of advanced devotee situated in devotional service, nor did he know his characteristics. Jadabharat was the residence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for he always carried the form of the Lord within his heart. He was the dear friend of all living beings, and did not entertain any bodily conception. He therefore smiled and spoke the following words. Purport. The distinction between a person in the bodily conception and a person beyond the bodily conception is presented in this verse. In the bodily conception, King Rahugana considered himself a king and chastised Jadabharat in so many unwanted ways. Being self-realized, Jadabharat, who was fully situated on the transcendental platform, did not at all become angry. Instead, he smiled and began to deliver his teachings to Maharaj Rahugana. A highly advanced devotee is a friend to all living entities, and consequently, he is a friend even to his enemy. In fact, he does not consider anyone to be his enemy. Surira Savadehinam. Sometimes a Vaishnava becomes superficially angry at a non-devotee, but this is good for the non-devotee. We have several examples of this in Vedic literature. Once Narada became angry with the two sons of Kuvera, Nala Kuvera and Managriva, and he chastised them by turning them into trees. The result was that later they were liberated by Lord Shri Krishna. The devotee is situated on the absolute platform, and when he is angry or pleased, there is no difference, for in either case, he bestows his benediction. Oma Gyantamanandasya Ginangina Shilakaya Chakshunimilitam Jainatasmai Sigurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jainabhutale Shwayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Svapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Om Amrim Shrom Om Farom Tataka Hatlika Kesha Gajalat Padakalochana Bhadharaka Nakasparsa Divasimha Namostate. In these two verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear how the great king, Maharaj Rahugana, is making a very serious and very grave mistake. Of course, we know that one of the four conditionings of the living entity in this material world is to make mistakes. But the mistake that he is making is particularly grievous and particularly serious. And anyone with intelligence should not make this mistake. We may make mistakes, but we should never make this particular mistake. And what is that? Vaishnava Aparat. Maharaj Rahugana is offending a devotee of the Lord, Janabharat. And not just any devotee. Of course, every devotee is special. But there are those who are particularly special and particularly dear to the Lord, the pure devotees of the Lord, such as Janabharat. He's speaking very strong words. Actually, sometimes when you speak strong words to someone, the pain they feel is even more painful than the physical pain. For example, you can slap someone and there's some pain there. But if you say, you mudha, you rascal, the pain, the slap on the face, it may last for 5 or 10 minutes, but the harsh words that you have spoken may give pain to their heart for hours or days or even years to come. Sometimes it's seen that someone, you know, can remember strong words many, many years. Yes, do you remember? So many years ago, you called me this, or you said this to my wife, or you... I mean, my heart is still burning with anger. So he's speaking very harsh words to the great saint, Janabharat. But it's interesting to note the reaction of Janabharat. There are two things we study in this particular pastime. We study the character of Maharaj Rahugana, the character of Janabharat. It's like day and night, like black and white, like good and evil. It becomes very clear who is the exalted personality. Although Maharaj Rahugana has the exalted name, when you say to Maharaj, this is very exalted personality. The Raj, he was the king. He was on top of the whole social system. Evam para param paptam imam raja shayo vidu. Even Krishna mentions in Bhagavad Gita that this knowledge of Krishna consciousness has come down through disciplic succession, and the saintly kings have understood it in this way. The kings had a very exalted position, very responsible position in society, both materially and spiritually. So he has the exalted name, Maharaj. It's not given to just anyone and everyone, the Maharaj. So he has the exalted name, and Janabharat, out of his humility and his own decision, so as not to become entangled in material affairs, not to get honor or fame, he's appearing as a dumb person. A devotee does not like to be glorified for his exalted position, because he's afraid. If I get glorified for my exalted position, I'll become proud. And pride cometh before a fall. So devotee is always very careful to keep himself in a very humble position. He doesn't want to be recognized as a great devotee. He just wants to go on with his devotional service to Krishna. So he's Janabharat. He's appearing as a wild man. And the king is the Maharaj. But who is actually great? Who is actually great? That cannot be done by just giving someone a title. It's actually a question of one's character. So we see that the real greatness is seen in the character of Jeta Bharat, that when he was offended, he remained very humble and he smiled. Yes, what you are saying is probably true. I am very fallen. He smiled. He didn't become angry and vengeful. And actually, his greatest quality is that he very quickly bestowed his mercy on Maharaj Rahugana, despite the fact that Maharaj Rahugana was appearing as his enemy. He preached to him very powerful Krishna consciousness and delivered him from material existence. Just see how great he was. That person who was his great offender, he took compassion upon him and he preached to him and he delivered him from material existence. So this is the very exalted quality that we find in advanced devotees of the Lord. It's a very, very advanced quality. And what is that? Forgiveness. The ability to be able to forgive when one is offended. Because the false ego is so strong, as soon as someone offends us, we know, all of us know. Someone says some harsh words to us, and immediately we become angry, we think some revenge. What about you? But here is a devotee who's being blasphemed by the king, and these words are very painful to the heart, but immediately he's thinking, all right, I forgive you. Another example of that, of course, is Lord Nityananda Prabhu. He was offended. Jagai took the pot and smashed it on his head, and blood came from his head. And he wasn't thinking of retaliation. He was thinking, if I can deliver this person, he's so fallen, then Mahaprabhu's glories will be sung throughout the three worlds. So the ability to forgive, one must be completely devoid of the false ego. Completely devoid of false ego in order to be able to forgive. And Chanaka Pandit, the great scholarly politician of ancient India, he actually chose this as the most exalted quality of a saint. He said the beauty of a cuckoo bird is in her notes, her sweet singing. The beauty of an ugly person, what beauty is there in an ugly person? The beauty of an ugly person may be that ugly person's learning. A person may be very ugly from the materialistic point of view, but they're attractive if they're scholarly, if they're learned. A nice example in modern times is Mr. Albert Einstein. Everyone appreciates Albert Einstein. Everyone likes him. But he was ugly as sin, if you look at him. At least in his elderly age, he was old and bent over, and he had big head. His head was bigger than normal proportions because he had a big brain, intelligence. And he had this wild, like, hairstyle and these fiery eyes. He wasn't very attractive from the material point of view, but he's a very attractive personality because he was very learned. So Chanaka Pandit says the beauty of an ugly person is in their learning. The beauty of a woman, the real beauty of a woman, an uneducated person, uncivilized person, he may think, oh, the beauty of a woman is in her physical appearance. But no, beauty is only skin deep. Right? If you're attracted to that beauty, the body, then you simply peel the skin away a little bit and you see what the body really is. Ah, beauty is only skin deep. What is the real beauty of a woman is actually her shyness and her chastity. And he said the beauty of a saintly person is his ability to forgive. This is her most exalted quality, ability to forgive. So great devotees like Jada Bharat, they're always in a position to exhibit this forgiveness. Because as we were discussing the other day, devotees are very often the object of ridicule and abuse at the hands of non-devotees. Why? Because, as we were discussing, a devotee reminds a non-devotee of Krishna. And we're all envious of Krishna in this material world. So when the non-devotee sees a devotee, he's reminded of Krishna, because everything a devotee does is for the pleasure of Krishna. Machita madgata pana bhuryanta parashparam, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully dedicated to my service, and they take great pleasure in always enlightening one another and conversing about me. So in one sense, thinking about a devotee is as good as thinking about Krishna. You can't separate the two. You can't separate the two. Just like when you think of successful business, you think of Mr. Hinduja. And when you think of Mr. Hinduja, you think of a successful businessman. The two of them go together. It is natural. He is successful by the grace of Sri Krishna. So when you think of good business, you think, if I want to learn good business, let me approach this gentleman, this devotee, and take some guidance how to perform successful business. So the two are synonymous with each other. When you think of Soho Street Temple, you think of Shishya Bhadalana Nishwar. You also think of their servants. You think of Mahaduti Das, the temple president. When you think of Soho, you think of him. And when you think of him, you think, oh, he's temple president. So synonymous. So when you think, thinking of a devotee in one sense is synonymous with thinking of Krishna, because they're intimately connected. You never see a picture of Krishna alone, Prabhupada said. To see a picture of Krishna alone is Mayavad philosophy. Krishna means his devotee and devotional service. Therefore, you always see a picture. Krishna is always surrounded by his devotees. Just like someone who has some qualities of greatness in this world, he's always surrounded by followers. Isn't he? He may have opulence, so he's surrounded by followers. He may have intelligence, so he's surrounded by followers. He may have beauty, so he's surrounded by followers. He may be renounced, he's still surrounded by followers. These qualities attract people to others. So Krishna's Bhagavan. He's the owner of all opulence. So he's surrounded by unlimited followers. You never see a picture of Krishna alone. He's always with his devotees, and his devotees are always engaged in loving devotional service. They are like one. Sadavo hidayam mayam, sadunam hidayam tvaham. The pure devotee is always within the core of my heart. And I am always in the heart of my pure devotee. My devotees do not know anything but me, and I do not know anything but them. Like one. So when you see devotee, you think, Krishna. And when you see Krishna, you think, oh, where's Radha? Where's Lalita? Where's Vishakha? They're close by rendering some devotional service. So naturally, when people see a devotee, they think Krishna. And this is enhanced if only because the devotees are always engaged in the same mission as the Lord. Which is what? Sarvadharmam pradicha ja mamekam saranam braja aham tam sarvapapebhyo moksasi masuchaha. There's two very important instructions in this verse. We say this verse many times, we hear this verse many times, it is quoted often. But it's interesting to note that there's two very important instructions for those who are aspiring on the path of devotional service. Sarva dharma pradicha ja mamekam saranam aham tam sarva papebhyo moksasi masuchaha. Just abandon all varieties of dharma and surrender unto me. I will protect you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. So Krishna is essentially saying we must give up our attraction to this material world, sense gratification, and we must surrender unto him. These are the two activities of a devotee. A devotee is always encouraging the general populace, give up your tendency for mundane enjoyment, sense gratification, and surrender to the Lord. That is the first step in Krishna consciousness. So that doesn't make us very popular. Mukunda madhava yadavahari bhoneno bhoro ye bhandana bhore miche neri bhashe ghelo rati dhivashe shane shage. Mahaprabhu would go out every morning with his kirtan party. All the devotees chanted the names Mukundava, Madhava, Yadava, Hari, their mouths being filled with the vibrations. They would announce to the still sleeping people, people are still sleeping now, you spend your nights uselessly sleeping and your days decorating your bodies. emana dhulaba manava deho pahi kikora bhava nakeho. You've achieved this rare human form of life, but you do not care for this gift. You remain not serving the darling of Yasoda and slowly fall through to your last moments of death. People may not appreciate this very much. They have to give up sense gratification. So sometimes, as a result, a preacher is insulted. And that is a grave offense. This is how non-devotees make offenses to devotees of the Lord. So whether they do it in full knowledge, or they do it in ignorance, as did Maharaj Rahugana, the result is the same. Ignorance is no excuse. Everyone should be educated in human society. At least this education should be there. Who are the saints? We should know for two reasons. We should know so we can go to the saints and take the dust of their feet and become advanced in Krishna consciousness. And if we don't care about that business, if we're so foolish enough, we don't appreciate Krishna consciousness, at least we know. Don't offend them. For those two reasons, which people should know, who are the sadhus, who are the saints, their glory should be spread throughout the three worlds. Just like you have to know, who's the policeman? Because if you need help, you have to know where to go. If you were at the fire, you have to know the number to call. So if you want to become Krishna conscious, you have to know truly who to turn to, because there's so many swindlers and cheaters and rascals in humans posing as saintly people. So we must know who are the true saints, those who exist in this world only for the purpose of giving us Krishna consciousness. They have no interest in this. Na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavicham va jagadisha kamaye mama janmini janmini ishare bhavatad bhakti ahaitiki twayi. My Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, neither do I want to enjoy beautiful women, nor do I want name, fame. All that I want is I might have your devotional service in my life, birth after birth. That's the real saint. So human society should know who the saints are, so that we can get their mercy and become Krishna conscious. And if not, then we can be very careful not to offend them. Now Maharaj Rahugana is a king. He should know these things. Shame on him. King is supposed to be Raja Rishi. He's supposed to be a saintly person himself. He's not supposed to simply have, you know, administrative capabilities, that he has gone to school and learned how to administer things very nicely, devoid of any Krishna consciousness. No. He's supposed to be learned in these things. The Brahmanas and the Kshatriyas, they worked very closely together to uplift the general mass of people. A king would never make a decision without bringing in his council of Brahmins, because a king is often influenced by the motive passion. To work in this world and be successful, you can't be a lazy man. A little passion must be there. But rather decisions should be made when one's mind is very peaceful and one can see things clearly in the mode of goodness. So therefore, to make his final decision, the king would have an idea, yes, this is the right decision to take. But he would call on his brahmanas. So, gentlemen, what is your opinion? Even in those days, they had their temple council. In the early days of ISKCON, it was just the temple president who made the decision. But nowadays in ISKCON, we see temple president, although he's the ultimate authority, he must be respected as the ultimate authority. Ultimately, he takes the decision, and we must abide by that and follow him. But he takes his counsel, and he says, so you are learned in this department, and you know this department and that, so what is your feeling, Prabhus? Well, we think. Then he considers, yes, okay. So the king shouldn't have made this mistake, Maharaj Rahugana. He shouldn't have made this mistake. He should have been learned, well-versed enough to know what is a sadhu. What is he doing sitting on the throne? If he doesn't even know what a sadhu is, if he can't even appreciate a sadhu, then what is the use of his government? It is a secular government. And that is useless government. Like we see today, so many secular governments separated from religion. How you can govern separate from the laws of God? How you will govern your people separate from... If you don't know the laws of God, how you can govern your people? You create your own imperfect laws and everything goes to hell. The real laws are the laws of religion, and people must be guided by the laws of religion. Shishivadalana Nishwara Ki. Otherwise a chaotic situation. But rather than have the laws of God, they have their Magna Carta. You must govern according to the laws of God. His laws are perfect. So a king, he should know what are the laws of God. He should know that to kill the poor innocent animals, that is a great sin. If he doesn't educate his people, what is Krishna consciousness and what is Maya illusion, then he should not be sitting on the throne. One should not become a king, one should not become a spiritual master, one should not become a parent, one should not become a teacher, one should not become a mother and father, unless they are well versed in the science of Krishna consciousness and can deliver their dependence from the repetition of birth and death. One should not accept responsibility. If one cannot be responsible for his own self, and real responsibility means to become Krishna conscious, if one cannot take responsibility for his own self, he certainly should not take responsibility for others. So such a position as king, Maharaj Rahugana, this should have been the first thing on his agenda. Who are the sadhus? That should be the first thing on his agenda. The kings were always very respectful. They were so powerful, so great, the whole kingdom was bowing down to them. But when a sadhu walked in the court, the king got off his throne, walked down the step, fell down on the ground like a danda, like a stick, and offered his obeisances to the sadhu. The sadhu was truly great. To be considered great, one has achieved something wonderful in this world. So what is the most wonderful thing you can achieve in this world? To control your senses. That takes real strength. With your muscle power and, you know, everything, you can lift the weights and conquer armies and, you know. But it takes real power, spiritual power, vachuvegam, manasakrodavegam, jivavegam, to be able to control the tongue, the belly, and the genital. That takes real strength. Krishna says, I am the strength of the strong. What's he talking about? You know, some Olympic athlete? No, he's talking about the spiritual strength it takes to be able to control the raging mind and the lusty senses. That takes real strength. So the kings, they knew the science of Krishna consciousness. So when a sadhu walked in, one who had actually, you know, who didn't have any fancy ornaments or weapons or any external symptoms of power or strength, he just had a loincloth on. When he would walk in the court, no one was under any illusion that he was just, you know, some... They knew, oh, here, this is sadhu. Therefore, even great kings... There was one great king like Akbar. Akbar, he was Muslim, but he was well-versed. He was a scholar. So he knew his own scriptures, and he also knew the Vedic literature. So he actually gave protection to the Vaishnavas, the Vaishnav temples, the deities. And it is said that actually he went to Vrindavan to seek out the association of the sadhus there. This is one example of someone who's not even in the Vedic tradition. So Maharaj Rahugana, he should have known these things. So it's difficult to say, you know, to make an offense knowingly or unknowingly, there's different reactions. If you know something's wrong and you do it anyway, the reaction is greater than if you don't know what's wrong and you do it in ignorance. Just like Prabhupada would say sometimes that those who are born in India, they have access to this culture of Krishna consciousness, but they're foolishly, you know, giving it up to imitate the Westerners. So that is especially grievous. That is especially... Those who don't know, they may not take advantage of Krishna consciousness. But those who have the opportunity and they throw it away, is especially lamentable. So it is not actually mentioned here whether Maharaj Rahugana was versed in the science of Krishna consciousness. Probably he was, because in those days kings were. So if he was, and he assaulted the great Jada Bharat, then he's... the reaction is very severe. But even if he did it only in ignorance, still, if you touch fire in knowledge, you touch fire in ignorance, you get burned. Fire doesn't consider, oh, the adult is touching me or the infant is touching me. The fire burns, whether one knows it or not. The point is, everyone should be versed, well-versed in the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita and Krishna consciousness, so we know what is right and we know what is wrong. Anyway, he's committing a serious offense. It's a second degree offense. There's first degree, second degree. Third degree offenses. Just like you can get burned by fire. There's first degree burn, second degree burn, and third degree burn. So first degree burn we've all experienced when we shave our heads and go in Harinam in the summer. Oh, you get a sore head. You get sunburn. Second degree burn is when, you know, you burn yourself and there's some bad blisters. And third degree burn is when the skin actually chars. It becomes cooked flesh. Now each of these, so offenses are like that also. The first type of offense you can make against a Vaishnava is that you can offend that person in your mind. Second offense is that you can offend someone with your words or your speech. And the third offense is you can actually cause bodily harm to them. So Maharaj Rahugana, he committed a second degree offense. He insulted him with words. He called him rascal here, and he's going to punish him and send him to the abode of Yamaraj. And so second degree offense. But you can consider it most grievous because the object of his offense is a great devotee of the Lord. Actually, one has to suffer for any offense he commits. Even to an innocent person. What to speak of a saintly person, even if you offend innocent people, there's a very severe reaction. Innocent people, innocent living entities who generally do no harm to others, are considered like animals, children, women, brahmanas, and old people. Nowadays, just see why are people suffering so much in modern society? There's so many natural catastrophes, so many incurable diseases. These things did not exist in former times, in previous times. So much pollution, and so many, of course you can say it is because of this or that, the immediate cause. But the far-reaching cause is because people are engaged in so many sinful activities. And they're so offensive to the innocent. The children are being killed within the womb. The cows are being slaughtered without discrimination, hundreds and millions. Women are not being protected. Old people are also being not protected. The brahmanas are being ridiculed, the true brahmanas. So it is for these reasons that also people are suffering. So even if you offend the innocent person, then you have to expect some reaction. What do you speak if you offend a sadhu? Krishna will tolerate if you offend him. He can tolerate that. When Brihadmuni kicked Lord Vishnu on his chest, and Lord Vishnu said, "How is your foot? Is it hurting?" But the Lord may tolerate an offense to him, but he will never tolerate an offense committed to his pure devotee. Because a devotee means specifically one who lives for others. A devotee is already liberated in this world, so he has no interest in this world. That's to be understood. So he stays here for one reason only. He stays here to give his association to others. He goes through all the austerity and all the difficulties of living in this miserable world when he could be living in Vaikuntha. He lives here for others. So the Lord is very appreciative. Generally, people only undergo austerities for their own sense gratification or extended sense gratification. Hiranyakashipu underwent so many austerities. You could actually think, what a great man. He did so many austerities. But what was the reason of his austerities? For his own sense gratification. Therefore, Prabhupada was not very impressed with Gandhiji. Because Gandhi, his austerities were for what? For his nation, which is another form of sense gratification. You know, I am British. I am American. I am French. You what? You are not. You're spirit soul. Nonsense. It's just a bodily concept of life. So Gandhiji may be seen as a Mahatma, a great soul, but the real reason he did his austerities is for his motherland. Where is he now? Which country is he born into now? It is all an illusion. So austerities can be formed in ignorance, passion, goodness. But a devotee's austerity is not even the mode of goodness, sudasattva. His austerities are for Krishna. He's taking responsibility in devotional service, or he's preaching, but it's for Krishna he's doing it. So Krishna appreciates that. He appreciates that someone takes the trouble to spread his message. Therefore, he said this, there's none more dear to me than those who are preaching my message, nor in the future shall there ever be one more dear. Selfless service. Therefore, Krishna, he gives special protection to his devotee. Raki Krishna Mari Ke, Mari Krishna Raki Ke. If Krishna wants to kill you, no one can save you. And if Krishna wants to save you, no one can kill you. This is the special protection afforded to a devotee by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Krishna appreciates so much. So therefore, if one wants to get the attention of the Lord, he should take up devotional service. Perform a little austerity. Just like every day bathing and dressing the deities, there's labor involved. Prabhupada said, he was speaking in Bhagavatam, you must go to the well and bring the water a long distance and then bathe the deity. So much careful attention to punctuality, to cleanliness. It's difficult to administer a temple, especially a temple like this in the middle of hell. Prabhupada said it's hell. To administer the temple like this, so much austerity, so much to preach in a city like this, to walk down Oxford Street and shake the can, if you can, give a little donation. We take on some austerity for Krishna, and then we become endeared to Krishna. So to offend a devotee like that, who doesn't ask anything from the Lord, you can imagine if you open up a business and people come and say, what salary are you expecting? Well, I think I should get about £100 a week for this service. Okay, what would you expect working in my factory? I think 250 pounds I should get. Mm-hmm, okay. And you, well, the work of 500 pounds. Mm-hmm. And how much salary do you get? I don't want anything. I just want to serve you. Huh? There's devotees like that. He doesn't ask anything. Just give me some more service. Actually, the heart goes out. So Maharaj Mahugana, that's the type of devotee he offended, Jada Bharat. So he should have expected the greatest punishment, even though it's only second degree, not third. He didn't physically abuse him, but with words. But still, because the object of his harsh words was such an exalted devotee, he should have expected very severe reaction. Lightning! And sometimes you hear in Christian, right? He tells a lie and a bolt of lightning comes down. Kills the liar and the sinner. So he's offending this Jad Bharat. So we should have expected, you know, something. A bolt of lightning or a Sringadeva or something. You rascal! Tanaham Dvisha Shatakurun. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest amongst men, Krishna says, I perpetually cast them into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. That's their fate. But the Maharaj Rugana will not be vanquished because of the compassionate nature of Jada Bharat. According to that verse in Bhagavad Gita, he's more than envious and more than mischievous, so he should be perpetually cast into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. What happens? Tadabharat just smiles, and he begins preaching to them, you're thinking you're king, and I am your servant. But actually the Supreme Lord is the ruler of every life. We are all equal in his eyes. So actually this compassionate nature, see that in great saints, like when Jesus Christ was on the cross, the same thing, same mood. They have him on the cross and they're poking him with the spear, laughing, and then he looked to the heavens, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. So how is it that great devotees like Jada Bharat, Lord Nityananda, of course he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but Jesus Christ can forgive those who ridicule them or even harm them? Well, one answer may be that, as Prabhupada actually discusses here, a highly advanced Vaishnava devotee is a friend to all living entities, and consequently he is a friend to his enemies also. In fact, he does not consider anyone to be his enemy. This is how a devotee sees everyone equally. Vidya vinaya sampane brahmani gavi hastini sunichaiva sapakicha pandita samadarshanaha. The humble sage, by virtue of true knowledge, sees with equal vision a learned and gentle Brahman, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater. And what's more, that's a sage, a general sage. What's more, the devotee qualifies that equality in that he sees, because he sees Krishna as the seed-giving father of every living entity, and everyone is coming from Krishna, therefore every living entity is his brother and sister. That's how a devotee sees. He doesn't just see equally some Brahman vision. But he sees that because Krishna is the seed-giving father, he's the only ultimate father, he's the only ultimate mother. Therefore, the devotee sees that everyone essentially is just like his brother and sister. Now, everyone knows it may be difficult to excuse an enemy for an offense. But it's natural to excuse a family member. Just like young children, they sometimes fight, you know, brothers and sisters. That's really a big fight. And later on, you know, they're friends again because they're brothers and sisters. Or a young child, a baby's in the womb of the mother, right? And it's kicking, kicking, kicking. What does the mother think? You little rascal, you stop that. Stop that right now. I'll give you a slap. She's thinking, oh.
It's on the right side, Prabhu. It's a boy. Well, I want a little girl. Oh, that's one kicking on the left side. It's twins. So the kicking's going on, but the mother is still tight. Oh, that's all right. The kicking's going on. It's my baby. Sometimes there may even be a fight between the husband and wife, but it's not taken very seriously. Rishi Shraddhara Jayudhye Pabate Mega Garjine Dampatya Kalahe Chaiva Bhavarambe Lagu Kriya. Janaka Pandit says, the funeral ceremony of a sage who has died in the forest, a fight between two goats, a clap of thunder in the morning, and Dampatya Kalahe Chaiva, a quarrel between a husband and wife. It all begins in a grand style, but the outcome is insignificant. The funeral ceremony of the stage starts out in the forest, but the outcome is not, they burn the body, some ashes thrown. A fight between two goats starts out very heavy, but generally a big clap of thunder and a quarrel between a husband and wife. It starts out big grand style, but the outcome is insignificant. Because they're family members. You can forgive your family members easier than you can forgive others. What to speak of your enemy. So Maharaj, or rather Jad Bharat, he could forgive Maharaj Rahugana because he had this vision. Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmani Gavi Hastini Sunichaiva Sapakita Pandita Samade. He didn't see the body. Oh, you are the king and I am the servant? No, sir. We are all equal. We are all brothers and sisters. There is one Father, Krishna, one Master, Krishna, and all of us are servants, equal in his eyes. Two things equal to one thing are equal to another. So, this is how he could forgive him. He wasn't thinking, oh, you are a king. He was thinking, brother, like that great mystic saint Francis of Assisi. They thought he was mad. My brother deer, my sister bird, my brother fish, my cousin horse. I think that Francis has gone a little cuckoo. He's calling the animals as brothers and sisters. All right, throw them out of the church. So they excommunicated Francis. He was just a young monk. He didn't care for their sectarian, closed concept. He had this spiritual vision. He was a saint. A saint is beyond all designations, Christian, Hindu, Muslim, Jew. He's liberated soul. So he saw this. He had this vision. Yes, my brother, sister, my brother, bird, my sister, deer. He started his own church. With his own hands, he built his own church. And because of his purity, because of his vision, because of his saintliness, because of his being a devotee of God, so many young men came and joined his church. And when his church started getting bigger than the other church, then they figured, well, we better get him back in. Can't beat him, join him. So the church accepted him back in. A little palace politics there. And later on, of course, he became saint. They realized, those who were intelligent in the church, they realized this man was a saint. So in this way, Jada Bharat could smile. Like when your sister your sister slaps you. I mean, I used to have lots of fights with my sister. I'd have a fight in school, it'd be a serious thing. When I get home, my sister do the same thing. Ah, come on, stop it. No, come on, stop. All right, I forgive you now. Come on. Right. So here's Maharaj Rahugana. I'm the king. Right, okay, you're the king. Right, brother. Okay, brother. Come on, brother. I want to tell you one thing. You're not the king. You're the servant of Krishna. We're all equal. In foolishness only, you're discriminating between different living entities. And Maharaj Rahugana, whoa. What is this? He was so much illusion. Just see the power of Jada Bharat. This is the power of a sadhu. One test of the power of a sadhu is that he can cut through all the illusion and go right to the heart and the person can say, now I understand. This is sadhu. Sadhu means one who cuts. He goes right to the infection, takes it out, cleans it out, makes everything healthy. So by his speaking, he goes right to the heart. Oh, yes. Now I understand. So Maharaj Hukani, when Jadabhar was speaking, yes, okay. Please accept me as your follower. So he could do that, Jadabhar, because he had this vision of eternity, this vision of the true equality of all living entities. Because this is not a very easy thing. But it's possible for one who's very advanced. Titikshava krunika suridam sarvadehinam ashuta sattva santa sarva sarabhushanaha. Sarva sarabhushanaha means he's decorated with all saintly qualities. Just like when someone performs well on the battlefield, then the government decorates him with different medals so people can see or respect him. They don't do it so much anymore, but I remember when I first came to Europe in 1969, the early 70s, I remember all over Europe, you'd see the old men from World War II, they all wear their medals, always wearing their medals. Now they're all dead and gone, so you don't see it anymore so much. But you'd walk down the street and they'd all be wearing their medals, the old men. Because the government wanted them to be recognized. They had special facilities. Even today, for soldiers, there's some special facilities given after their discharge from active duty. Government wants them recognized. They should be recognized for the service rendered to the king and the queen, God and country. So how much more so the devotee? So therefore, what is the source of the devotee's good qualities? The mercy of Krishna. He bestows those good qualities. Titikshava karunika suridam sarvadehinam ajata sattva santa sadava sadabhushanaha. The symptoms of a sadhu is that he is tolerant, merciful, and friendly towards all living entities. Suridam sarvadehinam, equal to everyone. He has no enemies, he's peaceful, he abides by the scriptures, and sadhava sadabhushanaha, all his qualities are sublime. So we should study the character of Jadabharat. We should want to follow. Throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, we always find there's two classes of men, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. This is the divine and the demoniac. And their characters are very closely analyzed. So we can decide who we want to follow. Because at first appearance, to the untrained eye, it may appear, Jadabharat, just stumbling around and falling down on the ground. I want to be like the king. He's got lots of money, beautiful queen and princesses and palaces, the untrained eye. But if we see through the eyes of sadhu, we study Srimad Bhagavatam through the eyes of sadhu, then we'll say, no, nadanam nijanam nasundarim kapacham vata gashika. I don't want to be like Maharaj, puffed up by his material opulence and his good looks and his mundane education and so forth. Proud of those different things, he's unable to perceive the saintly qualities of someone like Jadabharat. Janmashayashruta Sribir. Very often those who have those material opulences, because of those material, they engage in material activities, sinful activities, and they lose their ability to perceive anything that is spiritual. The Lord, the devotee of the Lord, the process of devotional service. So I don't want to compromise my Krishna consciousness by having his position. But yes, this is Jadabharat. That's who I want to be like. I want to follow him. Quite often we see the parallel. Maharaj Rahugana, Jadabharat. Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad Maharaj. Put it on the table. Let's see clearly through the eyes of Shastra. Privritti Marg and Nivritti Marg. What is the path of sense gratification? What is the path of renunciation culminating in devotional service? Which path I want to follow? Right now I'm attracted to the material path. But let me study Srimad Bhagavatam.
see the Shreyas from the Prayas, the immediate and ultimate results of the two paths as they're clearly outlined in the lives of these great personalities. Hiranyakashipu was also great. In one verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, he's described as Sri Hiranyakashipu. Shukadeva Goswami says, Sri Hiranyakashipu. It's a great soul, but from the material point of view. So therefore, the two, throughout Bhagavatam, this divine and the demoniac are there, and then we can see, because in our hearts we also still have, we have these tendencies. We have the tendency for the divine, and we have the tendency for the demoniac. And until, you know, the race is not over till it's finished. We may be well situated in the path of devotional service. We may be quote-unquote an advanced devotee, but we can see from the life of Bharat Maharaj that, you know, the race is not over until it's over. Until you cross the line, final demarcation line, that river, I forget what it's called, that divides the material world from the spiritual world. So until that point that we cross over that river and we eternally situated in devotional service to the Lord, is safely at his lotus feet in Goloka Vrindavan, then we have the divine and the demoniac within us. And whenever that tendency comes for the demoniac, then we can identify ourselves, Hiranyakashipu. Oh, today the Hiranyakashipu is coming into my heart. But because I'm constantly studying Srimad Bhagavatam and chanting the holy names of the Lord and associating with devotees and rendering service, I understand, actually, I want to follow in the footsteps of the great Mahajan, Prahlad Maharaj. So by hearing about these great devotees and following in their footsteps, then we can develop the same qualities. Of course, in the beginning, we're just kind of, it's kind of imitation. But we should also be like Jada Bharat. We should also preach to the innocent, to the non-devotees, even to those who blaspheme us. We should still preach. We may not do it with very much vigyan or realized knowledge, but if we practice like that under the order of Guru and Krishna, then by the mercy of our spiritual master, we will one day be blessed with genuine spiritual understanding. We'll develop real compassion like Jada Bharat, real tolerance like Jada Bharat, and real forgiveness, which are the most valuable ornaments of a devotee in Krishna consciousness. I went over a little bit. Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jagannath Subhadrabhada Deva ki, Giriraj Maharaj ki, Shishi Gwanitai ki, Shishi Radhalamanishwara ki, Nitai Gaur Peminandi, Hari Hari Mo, Hare Krishna.